Everybody's got to learn sometime. I've never driven a moving truck before, but I drive this one for 12 hours. Indiana to New York, sobbing on and off the whole way. I listen to Beck's version of Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime on repeat. The sky is gray and it spits rain all day, like there's a rain cloud following me east. By the time I pull up in front of my parents' building on Fifth Avenue, opposite the park, the sky is thundery and dark, too dark for an evening in June. My parents meet me under the green awning and hug me in happy greeting. If they notice my blotchy, tear-stained face, they don't mention it. If they wonder why, when I say I'm so glad to be home, I instantly burst into tears, they don't ask. Maybe they think it's because of the rain. I was 9 years old and living a little over a mile from Ground Zero on 9/11. Mostly what I remember is the way a bright, sunny day was transformed into the uniform, infinite gray of my parents' fear, the smell of burning, and the taste of ash. It felt like the whole world was covered in ash and debris. It was Charles who pointed out to me that this is probably why sometimes when it rains, I get this swamping dread that the sun might never come out again. That the universe is a fundamentally unreliable place, and the laws of physics could simply stop functioning at any time. It's maybe also why I had a thing about heights, until Charles took me rock climbing and I learned to trust the harness and the rope and my partner. Charles, I should explain, was the postdoc in my research lab. Or anyway, that's what he was for almost 2 years. My research supervisor, my mentor, my tutor, my climbing partner, and not least, my hot crush. Then, at the end of my last semester, we spent 4 weeks having sex because I was like, dude, we have a thing. And he was like, yes, we do, but it's not appropriate. And I was like, once I graduate, it's appropriate. And he was like, we'll talk about it when the semester ends. And when the semester ended, I went over to his apartment and I spent almost every night there until I left Indiana for good. Until last night. And God, it seems so inevitable in retrospect. I fell in love with him. How could I not? Brilliant, compassionate, beautiful, funny. I mean, how could anyone not fall in love with Charles? He, I think, may have fallen in love with me, but he never said it, and he told me that he was heartbroken, that love didn't happen for him. He explained it with science, so I believed him. But I didn't believe him when he said it wasn't fixable. Everything is fixable. Except he didn't want to be fixed. And so this morning, at the end of our month, I left before dawn, sneaking out of his bed and out of his apartment while he was still asleep. Because I was too much of a coward to say goodbye. And I drove home. And here I am. The super found a couple guys to move my stuff into the library, so Mom and Dad and I have dinner while the guys bring it all in. I take a shower and wash away last night's sex. And then my parents and I sit on the living room couch and celebrate my homecoming by binge-watching Gilmore Girls, which was one of my favorite shows when I was little. And then I go to bed alone. I lie there, wondering what Charles is doing, how he feels, how he felt when he woke up and I wasn't there. The swamping shame of sneaking out like that is too much. I curl up in a ball, teeth gritted, and try to soothe myself by making lists in my head of the many valuable things I've learned recently. 1. How you feel a person doesn't necessarily match the kind of relationship you can have with them. 2. When you and your partner laugh during sex, you can feel the laughter inside your body. 3. If a baby monkey's mother starts abusively rejecting the baby, it will abandon all its friends and obsessively try to make its mother love it again. Bonus lesson. The best way not to fall is not to mind falling. And the way not to mind falling is to fall a lot.